The rocky ledge runs far into the sea, and on its outer point some miles away, the lighthouse lifts its massive masonry, a pillar of fire by night, of cloud by day. Even at this distance I can see the tides, upheaving, break unheard along its base, a speechless wrath that rises and subsides in the white lip and tremor of the face. And as the evening darkens, lo, how bright through the deep purple of the twilight air beams forth the sudden radiance of its light, with strange unearthly splendor in the glare. Not one alone, from each projecting cape and perilous reef along the ocean's verge, starts into life a dim, gigantic shape, holding its lantern o'er the restless surge. Like the great giant Christopher it stands, upon the brink of the tempestuous wave, wading far out among the rocks and sands, the night o'ertaken mariner to save. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and that was a little bit of Longfellow to start us on our journey this week. Our journey to the lighthouse, not the Virginia Woolf lighthouse. Nothing so bleak as that. Was that a bleak one? I think there was a bleak one. I don't remember. I read it a long time ago. But lighthouses tend to be bleak. They tend to make us think about bleak things because lighthouses have a really weird place in literature. Like, they stand on a weird border toward warning and savior, toward society and distance from society. I mean, think about lighthouses. Lighthouses are vital to the survival of mariners, to people out at sea. If you can't see danger ahead of you, the lighthouse will tell you to watch out, to keep your distance. Lighthouses are a part of the function of any coastal area. And yet, they are, by nature of their duty, separate from the rest of us. They have to be far away from us. They have to be out at sea, not only by distance, but by height. Lighthouses have to tower above us. They have to always be present, yet never be near. The same goes for lighthouse keepers, the people who operate the lighthouses. They are vital parts of the world. And yet, there's a reason the expression, lonely as a lighthouse keeper, exists. I think it exists. I think that's an actual expression. No one is lonelier than the lighthouse keeper, the person who lives all by themselves in this lighthouse. I always used to think they lived at the top of the lighthouse. I don't think they actually live at the top of the lighthouse. That'd be a very dangerous place to live if it blew over. But lighthouses tend not to blow over because they are pretty sturdy structures. But lighthouses didn't always have this lonely reputation because as far back as we have in documented history, lighthouses have served several different purposes. Once upon a time, they marked just sort of where land was because there were no established ports. Of course, these weren't towers built of stone. These were just fires on top of mountains. But then around the time of, I think, ancient Egypt and then ancient Rome, lighthouses existed to mark the entrance of ports. Again, they weren't far out into the sea to mark the presence of reefs and other obstacles. They were there sort of to mark the entrance to civilization. Here's your doorway out of the wild ocean and into the world of human beings. It wasn't until the late 17th century, early 18th century, and I want to say that because it's true, that lighthouses had this sort of renaissance where they started getting built around Scotland, around the British Isles, to mark reefs and obstacles and dangers. And that's really where the lighthouses, we know it, came into play, came into focus. And there were some massive businesses, these families that for generations upon generations helped build lighthouses just around the areas of Europe that we think of as like, all the famous lighthouses you can visit today. In fact, Robert Louis Stevenson's was, I think, third generation lighthouse builder. His grandfather was a lighthouse builder, and his father and uncles were lighthouse builders, and he was trained in the business. He could have very well just have been a lighthouse builder his whole life and would have been none the worse to wear for it because you needed lighthouse builders. And looking into the history of lighthouses, it's also that you see the history of technology. You see the history of the way oil was produced, the way oil was used, these advances in lanterns and lamp technology. And it sounds really boring, probably to you listening, but it's really cool to see, like, as we developed as a technological species, the lighthouses directly benefited from all that, because they were one of the most, they still are, very important parts of our shipping. And of course, now today we have things like electric buoys, we have electric lights, we have different ways of marking borders and hazards, and there's many other ways to communicate with ships out at sea. But the notion of a lighthouse, the notion of a sentry that sits and guards, but also reminds us of danger, reminds us that danger is always there, hidden in the dark, is fascinating. It's fascinating that there are these massive structures built by humans that are intensely intimidating and also bizarrely comforting. And why am I talking so much about lighthouses? Well, this week's book and also episode of the TV show is the Berenstain Bears chapter book, The Haunted Lighthouse. Now, what's interesting about this chapter book is this is not part of the big chapter book series, nor is it part of the Bear Scouts chapter book series. This is a third chapter book series put out by HarperCollins Publishers starting in the early 2000s. The reason I jumped in on this one is because this is a very different feel for the chapter book series. It's not as advanced reading-wise as the other books. It feels a little bit like a hybrid between a step into reading book and a chapter book. There's a strange push and pull going on with how the characters talk, the lack of contractions, the oversimplification of certain ideas. But also, it's got a sort of a ripping good story. It's a pretty fun yarn. And it's also this weird mystery because the copyright on this book is 2001. In 2002, the Nelvana episode based on this book came out. And I'm having a hard time figuring out which came first, the idea for the episode, the idea for the book, or were they written together? Because while they tell essentially the same story, they're enough their own things that it seems like they may have been written side by side, with each one playing to the strengths of its own medium. It doesn't feel like the TV episode was based on this book, and this book doesn't feel like an adaptation of the TV episode because of where they diverge. It almost feels like watching the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey and reading the novel 2001 A Space Odyssey, because as we all know, that book and that movie were written at the same time. Arthur C. Clarke wrote the novel of 2001 at the same time Kubrick was working on the screenplay, and they kind of went back and forth, which is why they each stand alone as their own entity. And that's kind of how, I'm just going to go right out and say it, Berenstain Bears Haunted Lighthouse is the 2001 of the Berenstain Bears book series. So what is this book about? Well, in The Haunted Lighthouse, we got this great introduction where the bears are going on vacation. They head out to a gull island, and we learn soon enough that Papa has not planned this vacation at all. He expects that they're going to get to Gull Island and they're going to find themselves a place to stay. Of course, when they talk to Mrs. Smith at the housing agency, the place where they rent out the houses, bay houses, ocean houses, they have this charming conversation. Mrs. Smith says, "Folks, I have a lot of houses to show you. At first, I want to say how glad I am to deal with folks who are smart enough to plan ahead. Just when next summer will you be wanting a house? Next July? Next August? Have you thought about next September? The seashore is lovely in early September." And that's, of course, when Papa spills the beans that he was hoping to just get a house now. And she's like, "Oh, we don't have any houses. However, we do have a place that's not on Gull Island, but it's on Rocky Point Island, and it's a lighthouse." So the bears, in a spirit of adventure, decide to go to this lighthouse and stay at this lighthouse. And she's like, "You know, it's going to be a little rough. No one's lived there in quite a long time, years and years." So she gives him this book on the history of the area. It's like, "Here, read this book. You're going to need it." And they pack up supplies and they head out in a boat. And Brother's reading The Secret History of Gull Island. And that's when he finds out that the lighthouse on Gull Island has a reputation for being haunted, and he spooks Sister with this information. And so they're all ready to maybe be in a haunted lighthouse. And when they get there, though, something is strange. The lighthouse doesn't seem abandoned. It's been taken care of on the inside. I mean, they've still got to, you know, have their own food supply and stuff. But there's not quite as much cleaning taking place as they thought was going to be. The cubs have to share sleeping bags. Well, they have to use sleeping bags because there's only one bed. This place isn't set up for a family to live in, and there's no electricity. But otherwise, it's a pretty nice lighthouse. The sea around the lighthouse is a little rocky. But they're going to have a good time. They're going to go out. They're going to take a dip in the ocean. They're going to go fishing. They're going to get some oysters. And also, someone's watching them. There's a shadow in the rocks. A man with a hat is observing the family from afar. So Brother keeps reading the secret history of Gull Island, and they figure out that the lighthouse itself, the area with the lamp, is opened up because they start finding clamshells everywhere, and they assume that the seagulls are dropping the clamshells, and they're landing somehow inside the lamp area of the lighthouse. Now, the lighthouse doesn't seem to be functioning, and it hasn't functioned for a while, but there's a little bit of a mystery going on here. During the night, Brother and Sister hear howling, which sounds kind of like a ghost, but they also figure it might just be wind blowing down the chimney of the lighthouse. The cubs go out. They go out to go fishing, and that's when they notice a ship called the Mary Lou. It's a fishing ship. Also, a storm seems to be rolling in. Now, there's also a weird sequence where Papa Bear almost catches a manta ray, and there's a drawing of it, and the manta ray is about 10 times the size of their boat. It's an odd moment, this giant megafauna, but okay. So the storm is rolling in. Brother and Sister decide to go exploring, and they discover a graveyard of ships. And within this graveyard of ships, they find a man dressed like a sea captain. And his name is Captain Salt. And here's where we get the story of Captain Salt. Captain Salt has been living in the lighthouse this whole time. In fact, Captain Salt used to run the lighthouse until it was shut down. And with no place left to go, Captain Salt just sort of hung around the lighthouse without anybody knowing that he was there. He also keeps the lighthouse clean. He lives up in the attic of the lighthouse. It's kind of weird and creepy. He's been getting in and out without the family knowing and spying on them while they sleep and while they do things. It's kind of weird. He's this lonely old sea captain. He has nowhere else to go. The storm hits, and uh-oh, the fishing boat, the Mary Lou, is trapped out at sea. What are they going to do? This terrible, dark, and stormy storm has rolled in, and all of a sudden they get an idea. They put a bunch of firewood into some like oilcloth, carry it up to the top of the lighthouse, pile the firewood in the lamp, and they shine the beacon. And everyone sees it. Everyone from miles around, people can see, oh, the lighthouse is back on, and the Mary Lou does not crash. And then the next day, they're like, well, thanks, Captain Salt, for everything. You did a good job saving the lives. And lo and behold, because Captain Salt showed that they still may need the lighthouse, it starts up again. They start the lighthouse, and Captain Salt is in the newspaper, and everyone's happy, and the Bear family gets written about in the newspaper, and that's kind of it. That's the story of the Berenstain Bears and the Haunted Lighthouse. There's not a whole lot of haunted going on in this haunted lighthouse, but it's a nice story. It's a cute little story. There's some great illustrations, some wonderful Berenstain Bear chapter book type illustrations. Captain Salt is a salty looking guy. The cubs are nicely illustrated. The shot of the ship graveyard is just gorgeous. You see all these smashed up ships, and Brother and Sister are climbing over the wreckage. The giant manta ray is fun. There's a great image of Sister staring into the reflective mirrors in the lighthouse lamp, and she's reflected like from all different angles, and it's a pretty cool shot. These look like Mike illustrations. I'm not going to say whether or not they are, but if they are, I mean, they're great illustrations. I cannot emphasize how amazing some of the illustrations in these chapter books are. Some of them leave a little to be desired. These illustrations are great. I really like this book. Now, I said that this is also an episode of the PBS series, and it is, but it's different in not even subtle ways. First of all, in the PBS show, The bears are going out to the lighthouse just to explore. Papa is like, I love old architecture. I want to take the family out to see the lighthouse. We're going to stay there. It's going to be fun. So there's none of this like, I didn't plan ahead for the vacation. Papa's not quite so incompetent in the PBS series, by the way. He's just a little reckless and adventurous. In the PBS series, the Cubs do find the clams up in the top of the lighthouse, but they also hear someone walking around inside the lighthouse at night, and they can't figure out where it's coming from. Which is when they pull out the bear detectives, which is not in the chapter book at all. Brother and sister decide to, without Cousin Fred, they actually name drop Cousin Fred. Like, as Cousin Freddy would say, this is a job for the bear detectives. They decide to investigate the haunted lighthouse. Something seems like a ghost. And then at one point, they look out the window, and there is a green glowing ghost walking around outside. It's a real Scooby-Doo moment. Well, they go investigating, and they discover a secret apartment underneath the lighthouse. And that's where they've been hearing someone walking around. They also find green, glowing, phosphorescent paint and realize that this is a home where Captain Salt has been living. Captain Salt's story is basically the same. The lighthouse was shut down. He didn't have anywhere to go, so he's been living under the lighthouse in this hidden apartment. The Cubs introduce him to their parents. This is, again, remember, a PBS episode. It's very short. And instead of a storm and a rescue at sea and the desperate need to return the lighthouse to functionality, instead, Mama and Papa are like, wow, you know a lot about this area. And he's like, well, yeah, I'm the history keeper. I can tell you all kinds of stories about this lighthouse and about the ocean and about, you know, things that have happened around here over the years. And they're like, you know, it'd be a great idea is if you reopen this lighthouse as a tourist thing, like as a historical site, and you could be the tour guide. And they do. That's how the TV show ends. Captain Salt convinces the town to reopen the lighthouse, and he's kind of the resident expert. He still lives at the lighthouse, and he gives people tours of the island and talks about the history. And that's a different ending. It's a very different ending. So the book ends with the lighthouse regaining functionality because it still needs to operate. There's still a chance that ships might need it. And the TV show ends with it being resigned to history, but having a place in history, like not being forgotten. And so it's two different themes we're working with here. The lighthouse as a necessary aspect of society, and the lighthouse as a symbol of yesterday, a symbol of an era that we have since moved on from. We're talking two drastically different themes here, and they both work within the framework of this story. Captain Salt was trying to scare people away in the TV version, as opposed to in the book, where he knew they were going to be leaving soon. He's been scaring people away just because he's afraid and sad and just doesn't want people around. I like Captain Salt in both versions. He looks exactly the same. They did a good job at transferring one idea from one medium to another. The lighthouse in this is a nice symbol of... Lighthouses are creepy. They, like I discussed in the beginning, they symbolize dire warning. They represent life or death. They're also this sort of almost liminal space between the wilds of the ocean and the safety of land. Of, you know, you have to pass the lighthouse. You have to bypass its warning light. You have to know where it is in order to get where you're going. And it can signal your doom or it can signal your salvation. And when a lighthouse is on, you're safe. When it's off, you're not safe. That's just, it's a binary. But you can float between both meanings of this binary. And that's why I think the lighthouse is such a potent symbol of history and life and you know, structure in life, the sturdiness, the solid nature of life. When a lighthouse crumbles in a story, in a horror tale or an adventure tale, a lighthouse crumbling is a major event because lighthouses are built to withstand the most intense water and wind that can be thrown at them. A lighthouse has to be more powerful than the most powerful ship. It has to survive no matter what. It has to be the last thing standing. And It also represents isolation and solitude. When you're on an island and you're in a lighthouse, you are safe, but you're alone. No one can come to help you right away. But also, your structure is not going to fall. It's also an impenetrable barrier. There's any number of stories about things trying to get into a lighthouse, or battles that end up at a lighthouse and the people who are cordoned off inside the lighthouse. They can be prisons. You can hold people prisoner in lighthouses. They're strong structures. And the lighthouse in this book is your classic, red on the bottom, white on the top lighthouse. I really like the character they give the lighthouse in this book. It's not presented as overly scary. It's very clean. It's very functional. But it's still intimidating. It's still a dark place. And one of the things about lighthouses is lighthouses are a tower. And as anyone who has read Jeff Vandermeer knows, tunnels and towers are almost interchangeable, depending on what you're using them for. And there's a lighthouse in Vandermeer's Area X books. And in the first book, Annihilation, you have a couple of lighthouses that have very different meanings, one across the bay from the other. But you also have a pit, a tunnel that descends into the earth that is referred to as the tower, that sort of stands as the inverse of the lighthouse in that story. It still has a winding staircase that goes down. And one of the characters only refers to it as a tower because a tower is only the concept of a tower is entirely dependent on where you stand in relation to that tower. A tunnel going down is only going down if you're at the top. And what is a lighthouse but a tunnel that you necessarily start at the bottom of? And I love the notion of this fortress-like tower that stands to protect, stands to save, and can also spell your doom. I don't know. There's something wonderful about it. I'm getting off on all kinds of tangents here. I love the use of a lighthouse in this book. I love that the bears go to a haunted lighthouse. I love that the haunting isn't the important part. I love that it's all about the history of bear country, the history of this area. I love that we get another part of bear country. I love that we learn a little bit about, what the goings on this island, that there's this family that goes back, that there's these lighthouse keepers that have a part in this society. It's just great. It's just great. I love lighthouses. I love stories about lighthouses. I'm going to put this one up there as good kids book about lighthouses. And it's a good episode of the show, too. You can find it on Treehouse's Treehouse's YouTube site, I believe. It was online. Treehouse Direct has a couple of video sites out there. So just do a Google search for Berenstain Bears and the Haunted Lighthouse. You'll find it. It's a good one to watch. I really enjoyed it. A little spooky, a little Scooby-Doo-y when they find out that the ghost isn't actually a ghost. They don't think it's a ghost. Like, they seriously don't think it's a ghost. Brother and sister are smarter than that. But the Berenstain Bears and the Haunted Lighthouse, if you're interested in the book, it is available. I didn't find it in hardback. As a hard copy. I think it's still available as a hard copy. It is definitely available as an ebook. I found it for $1.99 as an ebook. Worth a read. It's only going to take you like 10, 15 minutes to read it. Again, this is not one of the big chapter books, which get really weird and psychological, and the cubs are doing all kinds of crazy preteen things. This is more just a straightforward Berenstain Bears adventure, but I actually liked it a little bit more than those Bear Scouts chapter books. So, good on you, Berenstain. This was a good read. If you're looking for a good kids book, also about lighthouses, I would recommend Tove Jansson's Moomin Papa at Sea. If you know me, you know that I love the Moomin books. And that's a book where Moomin Papa takes his family to a lighthouse. It starts off very similar to this, actually. They don't really know what they're doing living in a lighthouse. It gets very sad and melancholy and strange. And obviously, you're only going to want to read it after you've read the rest of the Moomin books. So read them in order, folks. This is Phil Gonzalez, your chronological evangelist, telling you read books in the order in which they were produced. You'll appreciate the art better. There's character arcs and psychological development of the characters that goes along. You'll understand the book a lot better. But definitely read all the Moomin books. They get to Moomin Papa at Sea. It's a major turning point for the characters. It's really good. It's really cool and kind of creepy, but also like just wonderful and not as whimsical as the other books. And if you're an adult and you want to read a book that has a lighthouse in it, a couple of lighthouses and a tower, read the Area X series, also known as the Southern Reach trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer. It starts with Annihilation. There was a movie that came out last year. It was a really good movie, had nothing to do with the book. So, you know, if you liked the movie, just know that the book is very different. But it also has lighthouses, very sinister tunnels and lighthouses. And I was really just love these stories. And I love lighthouses as a symbol. You can also read Virginia Woolf's To the Lighthouse, which, of course, has a lighthouse in it. And any number of books have lighthouses in them. Just do a search. Do search literature with lighthouses. They're all out there. What's your favorite book about lighthouses? If you have one, go to Twitter at BStainBearcast and let me know what your favorite book about lighthouses is. And I'll add it to the list that I probably will never read, because I'm a very busy man. Why am I so busy? I am so busy because I am getting my one-man show together. May 24th, Friday, 6 o'clock, dinner and a show at Moon Palace Books here in Minneapolis. Come on down. We're going to be rocking and rolling. I'm going to be talking about the Berenstain Bears. It's going to be looking at the history of the books. We're going to be talking about the weirdness in bear country. You're going to be talking about a lot about me. You're going to find out things about me you never wanted to know. So Moon Palace Books, May 24th, Friday at 6 p.m. There's going to be pizza. There's going to be beer. There's going to be all kinds of good stuff to eat. Come have dinner and watch me while you eat dinner. What could you possibly want beyond that? Food in your face, fill in your ears. Mwah. That's a good evening. You can also find me at BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com. That is my little blog where I post this stuff. If you haven't in a while, leave a review for me. Go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes or wherever and leave a review of this show if you like it, because it's been a while since I've gotten a new review, and I would just love to know what you think. Let me know what you think. Also, patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Mwah. I love all my Patreon subscribers. You guys are great. You are a small crew, but you are strong, and you give me hope for the future. Go over there if you want and become a subscriber. Just a couple bucks a month. I'd really appreciate it, and it keeps me in books. It keeps me in Berenstain Bear books, and a lot of that money is going towards improving everything about this show, making it better, making it stronger, faster, more sleek and professional. I'm sitting on the couch right now, surrounded by toys, and that's as good as it gets. Don't I sound great? Don't you love this show? Hey, everybody, I really enjoy doing this show, and I was glad that I did this book this time. I was going to do another, like, dibby little short book, but this was a good one. I really liked To the Lighthouse. Not To the Lighthouse. The Berenstain Bears. It's not the Berenstain Bears, To the Lighthouse. Berenstain Bears and the Haunted Lighthouse from 2001. Check it out, and I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.